Happy Cinco de Mayo. Did anybody know it's Cinco de Mayo today? No? Now? Cinco de Mayo. I really tried hard to take my message and tie it to Cinco de Mayo, but I just could not do it. There was no talk of sombreros or tacos. It might be lunch in the Bible, so I couldn't do it. I was like, oh man, Cinco de Mayo, how can I make this happen? God's like, you can't. Okay, got it. I'm sorry, I couldn't find any references anywhere in the Bible. So my next logical step was, oh, well, let me take this and tie it to Cinco, the number 5. And we got somewhere with that one, folks. We got somewhere. We all know kind of, well, maybe you don't, but if you've been around, we kind of mentioned this. Numbers play an important part in the Bible. Did anybody know that? There's a lot of significance with numbers. Nothing's an accident with God. It's so cool. And so I'm thinking to myself, oh, let me start looking this up, because there is not much about the number 5 in the Bible. There is. There's all stuff about the number 5 in the Bible. Did anybody else know? Well, I'm going to enlighten you. I mean, I get it. 3, 7, 40, we've heard those numbers over and over and over again, right? Especially 3, you know, it happens all the time. But 5, let me share some of my highlights, shall I, about the number 5. The 10 commandments, I know that it's what's the number? I can't think of what I'm trying, the math word I'm trying to talk, a derivative, a variable of 5, I think is what I'm trying to say. But nonetheless, 10, we have the 10 commandments, 2 sets of 5 that were given to us. In the Old Testament, there were 5 offerings to God. Do you want to know what they are? Good, I have them for you. Burnt, sin, trespass, grain, and peace offerings. And as I was doing research, there's many other references to the tabernacle with the number 5 in reference to it. Psalms, the beloved book of Psalms, is divided into 5 different sections. Jesus fed 5,000 people with how many loaves of bread? Oh, there we go. And two fish, but 5 loaves of bread. There's the word 5 in some words like Pentecost. Penta means 5. Pentecost, anybody remember that story? We just read it in Bible study on Wednesdays at 10 o'clock and 7 o'clock. It's where we receive the Holy Spirit. 50 days after Passover, Pentecost, 5. And in the New Testament, just to finish it out, some of the highlights that I found, Paul writes about 5 roles within the church that need to be filled. The 5-fold ministry is what we call it today, of evangelists, apostles, prophets, pastors, and teachers. So the number 5 is a lot of places. That's just off the top, the ones that I was like, oh yeah. You can do more research if you want to know more, but Cinco, 5, Cinco de Mayo. 5 also means and symbolizes, because in a lot of times with these stories, 5 was centered around God's grace, kindness, and his favor towards humans. So there we go. Finally, Pastor Jamie got to the topic of the day, grace. I know it was a long road, but you hung in with me. Grace. We're going to talk about grace this morning. Cinco de Mayo. We're going to dig into what grace is and what it means for us. All right. Because I got to be honest, like sometimes we hear grace, mercy, sovereignty, all these big words. I'm like, oh yeah, I know what that means. I know what that means. But if someone were to ask you what it means, you'd be like, maybe, like me, like, oh, I don't know. How do I explain that in words? I know what it is, but I need to be able to explain it in words to someone, right? So the definition of grace that we're going to focus around today is getting something that we don't deserve. Essentially, that's what grace is. We're recipients of something that we didn't earn. Grace. Have you ever done something for someone, just out of the kindness or whatever, and they said, ooh, what do I owe you for that? How can I repay you for that? What can I do for you to pay that back? Oh, I'll do something for you or whatever. That's the world in which we live, don't we? You do something for someone, and sometimes they think, oh, I got to pay him for something somehow, some way. But the good news is that's not how God's world works. That's how this world works and how our culture sometimes thinks. I think it's erroneous, but nonetheless, we won't go down that road. Okay, that's the culture in which we live here. But that's not God, and that's not God's world, and God's nature, and God's character. In this world, we get all kinds of things from him, and we didn't do anything to earn it or deserve it. Isn't that awesome? In God's world, he gives us love, forgiveness, kindness, peace, favor, all these things without doing anything to deserve it. And I want to say, I'm not talking about material things. I'm talking about spiritual things, because we all know that's the most important stuff we're talking about here, right? Grace, getting something of a spiritual nature that you didn't earn, that you don't deserve, just because God loves you. I love grace. Anybody else? Yeah, right? The story that come into my mind after I finally figured out I was talking about grace, that took a long time. If you think that was a long time getting, just imagine my week getting to this point. I'm like, oh, grace. And the story that just kept coming to mind was the story in Luke 23, 32 through 43, about the criminal on the cross, the two criminals we see. And we're going to read this story. Normally, I was like, this isn't the time of year to read this story. We usually read it around Good Friday, right? But we're going to read it today, even though it's after Good Friday, a few weeks after Easter, Good Friday, because we see grace provided to someone that's on a cross with Jesus, getting what he deserved. At least what that the world says. But anyway, let's read the story first. We're in Luke 23, 32 through 43. Luke is the only one that records the dialogue between Jesus and the criminals. And it goes a little something like this. Here's the story. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you're the king of the Jews, save yourselves." There was a written notice above him, which read, "This is the king of the Jews." Then we get into the story of the criminals here. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" he said. "Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man, he's done nothing wrong." Then he said to Jesus, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus answered him and showed grace. "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." Such a moving story that we think about usually only once a year. I'm glad we brought it up today. God wanted us to read it. Because what we see are two men, two criminals, being executed for the things that they've done and the deeds that they've done in this world. And there's two ways to look at Jesus at this point. Like the one criminal who's insulting Jesus, being very sarcastic probably. "Save yourself and us." He didn't get it, did he? He didn't get it. He didn't understand who Jesus was. Then we see the other criminal on the other side who, through all of this tragedy that's happening, sees who Jesus is and the true nature of him. Jesus was witnessing right there through his death all the way to the end. And we see him looks over Jesus to talk to the other criminal, and he's like, "Dude," this is my version of what he said, "Dude, we've made these horrible bad decisions with our life, and we're getting the punishment that comes to us. This guy here in the middle, he's done nothing wrong. Can't you see his character? He's forgiving people that are mocking him and killing him. You have Jesus in an instance and two ways to look at him. And the one criminal got it. And I'm so happy he did. Because just by that faith that he had, he looks at Jesus and says, oh, please remember me. And then Jesus gives him something he doesn't deserve. Paradise. By the world's standards, this guy did not deserve paradise. Right? Jesus doesn't think like us in this world. He's on a spiritual level. And all it took was for that criminal to recognize who Jesus was and ask, hey, remember me. And Jesus gave it to him. Jesus gave it to him anyway. That gentleman that was getting killed, the criminal, who'd made bad decisions, he didn't get baptized, did he? He wasn't able to go out and be a disciple and learn about Jesus and spread the good news in Acts. We do not read about him in Acts, do we? Right. He didn't go out. He wasn't able to feed the hungry or help orphans or widows, right? He wasn't able to love and change his ways and prove that he had changed his ways, did he? He didn't get that chance, did he? But what did he get anyway? He got paradise, grace, undeserved, unearned, paradise with Jesus. That's all it takes. Don't get me wrong, getting baptized and showing compassion to everybody after you know who Jesus is. I'm not saying not to do those things, but he didn't have a chance. And he still was given grace by Jesus to be able to be in paradise with him. That's what grace is, people. All right, Silas. All right. Everybody, encourage Silas as he comes forward. Okay, come here, come here, come here.
Okay, what's your story doing now?
Just stand there and look pretty.
Yeah, I know you have tricks. Oh, I see a water gun. Hey, water gun.
Hey.
Hey, water gun. See, I know you.
Stand down here, please. See, do you think I have tricks up my sleeve?
Yes, do you always do? And I saw
Silas?
A water gun. I saw a water gun.
Okay.
I'm watching you.
Okay. He always does this. All right, so I have a little demonstration for you today. We're using Silas. I'm calling him Sidekick Silas.
Watch it.
Hey, can you see him in the camera? Does he need to come this way? Come here, Si. I'm going to run over the fake lilies. Okay, Silas, I have a game for you today.
Hmm.
Would you like to play a game with me? Say yes. Thank
yes.
you.
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
Okay. It's very easy, and I promise it won't hurt a bit. I'm going to think of a number between 1 and 10. I want you to pick that number. Try to pick the number that I'm thinking of.
5.
Hold on. Don't say it. That was good practice. But let me tell you what's going to happen. If you get it wrong, if you get the number wrong, I'm going to squirt you with a squirt gun.
See, I knew it.
If you get it right, you get a king size Reese's peanut butter cup. Are these your favorite?
I'll take anything.
I was told this is one of your tops.
Yeah.
King size, 4 beautiful peanut butter cups in here for you. But you got to get the number right. Okay? Hey. Wait. I got to think of one.
Harry, understand.
I got to think of one. All right. I got it. What do you think my number is?
5.
Wrong. Of course I wasn't going to pick 5. You just picked it.
I only say that's not water.
All right, so the number, do you want to know the number I was thinking of in my head?
Yeah.
1.
Seriously?
Yeah, it was. So I told you I'm going to get you with a water gun, didn't I? But I'm also, I was thinking I might use this one instead.
Nope. Nope.
I think it has water in it.
I'm not going to deal with this.
Do you want, are you ready? I mean, this is the consequence,
okay.
Right? This is it. Like, you ready? Okay, I'm not going to do that.
That's an example of grace.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to give you your king-size Reese's peanut butter cup. You didn't deserve it, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. What did I just show you?
Grace.
You know it. I did.
Yes.
Thank you very much, sir. Give Silas a round of... You can go sit down. The point has been made. Thank you, Silas. I really didn't want him to see the big one underneath there, but of course. He's so sneaky. He's always sneaking around. Silas did not do the game right. He did not earn his peanut butter cups, all four of them. But I gave it to him anyway. That's what grace is. Mercy is that I didn't squirt him with the gun. But I want to make sure that you understand that I came across this. I did not come up with it myself. I was like, this will be great, and I can use my sidekick Silas to bring home this point. Grace. We showed it to him anyway. We gave him a candy bar. I'm so very glad. And I just want to say, grace is not fair, is it? That's not fair. I gave him that. He didn't obey the rules. He did not win. But he got the earnings. He got the candy bar for it, right? Grace isn't fair. Yes, you are correct. Grace isn't fair. That's the point. And I'm so glad that grace isn't fair. Right? And once again, I'm not talking about things of this world. I'm talking about the fact that we get eternal life, a relationship with God, unconditional love, peace that blows our mind. All because God loves us and he wants us to have it. He loves us more than I love Silas. I'm going to give him that candy bar. And I love you a lot, buddy. But God loves us that much more and wants to give us so much more, spiritually speaking. And we don't have to earn it or do anything for it. It's just given to us. God's grace blows my mind. And all we have to do, too, is just acknowledge who Jesus is and then have him lead our lives. That's it. We don't have to do anything else. The criminal on the cross proves that, right? It is hard to imagine that someone who had been making bad decisions his entire life was dying and is now in paradise with Jesus. That's the kind of grace that is given to us by God. And the last thing, I didn't have this, God talked to me about this yesterday. He's like, you got to make sure and tell him this. I'm like, yes, I will. If we are striving to be like Jesus, and one of the characteristics of Jesus is giving grace out to people who don't deserve it, that's what grace is, right? Because he's given to you and me things we don't deserve, right? Then it stands to reason that we need to show grace to others. That's the important part here. Yes, we enjoy grace all the time from God and the things that he gives us. But then are we doing the same thing for everybody else? Or do we say things like, well, they had it coming. They deserve that. Are we giving out the same love, hope, peace, kindness, patience that we get from Jesus to the world and to people within this world? It's not always easy, but that's what I really want you to focus on this week. Because grace isn't fair. So can you be unfair to people in good ways? Be unfair to people in good ways. When you come across people that need something, love, compassion, to talk, whatever it is, give it to them, even if they don't deserve it. We're the recipients of all kinds of grace from Jesus, so it is only right that we show it out into this world. So the questions to think about this week. Have you allowed Jesus in? And have you accepted the grace that he has for you? Do you realize you don't have to earn anything? It's a free thing. Who likes free? Pastor Joyce, raise your hand. She wants a free or discounted thing at all costs. Have mercy. If it's free, it's for me. Guess what? Grace, it's free. It's for you. Take it and run with it. Stop trying to earn stuff. We can't do enough, right? And live in that knowledge of that grace. and then give that grace out to somebody else? How can you each and every day show grace out into this world? Be a weirdo. Be a weirdo. Let the people of the world look at you like, that's odd. Why are you doing that? Well, because there's no reason other than Jesus loves me, so I'm going to love on people back. Amen? Amen. Amen.